Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Praise the Lord. I feel like singing, but I don't have too much time. God's love is real. God's love is real. I must just, and until our relationship with God is very personal, even God is limited in certain things that he wants to do in us and with us. You must see a relationship with God beyond what we do in church on a Sunday. When you come to church on a Sunday, you're supposed to take the eternal word of God back into your space, such that when someone sees you, you actually breathe and exude God. So even your songs should change this year. It's not just your friends. Change your songs. Don't listen to some songs. And I mean some Christian songs. Don't listen to them anymore. You know, songs are in levels. Just like prophesying are in levels. Say you prophesy according to the grace that has been given to you. So there are grace and there are graces. There are certain people that no matter what they do, when they prophesy, they can only prophesy into your pocket and get the money out of your pocket. Some people can only prophesy into the problems you are having, and they can't, even when they try so hard, they can't get beyond that. Some people, when they prophesy, it is God connecting their heart with his heart and then speaking forth through it. They prophesy the utterances from the throne. And that's why I was so excited when we started singing them. When Gloria was singing that song, deeper, higher than the mountains, your love is on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes we just need something descriptive to capture how much God loves us. Sometimes I marvel at the wisdom of our God, and I want to encourage you to trust God for grace to be able to develop the capacity for deep thinking. I just know somehow in my heart that he didn't bring me this far to leave me. Because I remember several years ago when I was being wheeled into the theater hall to be operated upon, and that's why I have that scar on my neck. Don't hide your scar from people. Sometimes you try to make it look like we've always had it sorted out. No, we didn't. I don't care how beautiful and well packaged you are, there was a time in your life somebody had to bait for you. You couldn't dress up. Somebody had to wake you up. Somebody had to dress you up for school. Someone had to drop you off in school. Someone had to pick you up back. Somebody had to make sure that you had food ready to eat. And all of a sudden, you are just one sickness and you are down. Just one headache in your head. And you are so messed up, you don't even know what to do anymore. You think you are in charge.
Your love, on and on and on and on and on. Say higher than the mountain. Your love goes on and on.
know, while I was so much younger, I swallowed some money. In the days when we used to spend coins, I swallowed some money. I was very truant, I was very explorative. Let me know if the word truant. So I swallowed some money, and my mom panicked. They rushed me to the hospital, and they described there was something else. There was a growth in my voice box. And doctor said, they tried to check, they ran some tests. If you had grown in the north before, I grew up in Bauchi, they'll give you this, is it measles? There's this injection for, is it measles or something? Yeah, David, help me, right? We got it on the hand then. I don't know the technical, but, well, it's supposed to be for... Yes, some kind of immunization, but it was specifically for... They were there. You can hear them. They were there. So, the thing backfired, and a lump started growing in my voice box. And the doctor ran some tests and said I was going to lose my voice. And I would not be able to talk. He just said, oh, that fine voice, so handsome, but he can't talk. I wish I could just have married him. He can't talk. How do you explain to your mom that, oh, this, you love this guy, you can't talk, like, just like it's a very difficult place to be. So I was I had this challenge. They didn't give me all the full details, but I knew I was not okay. There was no sign on the external to show that I was sick, but I noticed the growth started to come out of my neck, and the doctor said it was a 50-50% chance. If they tried to remove the growth, I could lose my voice. If they tried to remove the growth, I could get better. Well, I'm standing here because I got better. So just imagine that. There's a call of God over your life. You're going to go to the nation like, oh, he can't talk. See, let me tell you, God had everything all worked out before you came on board. Yeah. Stop trying to make it look like you have everything under control. You've got nothing under control. So I went into that... surgery room, and that's why this song makes so much sense to me this morning, and I'm going to sing it for the entire week. As they wheeled me in, the doctor they couldn't get me to sleep, you know. So the doctor started talking to me. This was in a general hospital in Bauchi. He started talking to me. Oh, and I saw, you know, when you see those blades and those things they use in the surgery, in the film it looks fine, but when you are actually in a real theater and you see all those, you know, there are blades and there are blades. Amen. There are knives and there are knives. There are some knives, they don't look like the one in your kitchen. They have all kind of extensions, and when you see them and they thought that they are going to be using this on you, nothing is going to make you sleep. You're just like, oh, so. This is not happening here today. So the doctor was talking to me, so they gave me some injection. I was fighting it. And I was fighting. I heard my mom was outside crying her eyes out. She actually felt she was going to lose me, you know. So they did all of that, and doctor was like, okay, I'm doctor so and so, this is a nurse, and we are going to help you, want to help you. And like, okay. I just couldn't take my eyes off those, because I knew they wanted to use those things for me. I mean, that's why they were there anyway. So until later, I couldn't fight the but somewhere in between, I was conscious and I was unconscious. I could feel something touching me, and I could see this greenish liquid coming out of my neck and all of that. It was not the first time. I was whipped back there again. I just kept going back. They kept taking me back for like 2 to 3 times or so. They didn't find the money anyway. So the money was, you know, way down. So I prefer to keep the money. You can take away. I know why we are singing that song. I was just remembering some of those events that have passed in my life, and how there's been so much attempt on my life, and I'm still here. I'm sure if I ask you to share a bit of your experience, you probably have something to say. You know, maybe you tried to go to school and didn't work out. You tried to get a university degree, didn't work out. You tried to get a master's degree, didn't work out. Or just at the point of making a huge headway in your life, your father died. And you're like... And your mom didn't have the kind of finance or to help you out. So you now had to start learning how to pray. You know that the feel is one thing when even your dad is dead. It's another thing when you are looking at both of them. You know in your heart they can't help you. That if you need anything, you need to get up and go out and get it. Because your dad is just a lovely, godly man. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need it, you got to go out and get it. Because your dad doesn't know anything about what you are looking for. As we journey with God, because I want to start teaching you this morning. It's going to have a strong curve into the seven mountains. But I want to start teaching you about apostolic people in apostolic times. Yeah. So stay with me. It may not be your regular kind of message, but stay with me. It will help you. I'll try to be as basic as possible, but just follow me. I say all of this because where we are going to be heading to in our lives, if you are not persuaded about the authority of God's word and about the love of God for you as a person, and I'm not talking about the whole word, I'm talking about you as a person, your faith will not be able to withstand certain things that will come your way. So I want to start by reading the book of Acts. Acts chapter, I don't know, do I start from chapter 18? Now you have to realize that it's very important for you to be able to label the faces that you find yourself appropriately. Identify the people that God is bringing into your space. It's very important. Don't just put a blanket tag over everybody in your space. Learn to identify who is this person, who is God asking this person to be in my life. And so you don't just put a blanket, they say, don't make your pastor your brother, don't make your brother your pastor, don't make a mentor just a friend. You must learn how to tell the dividing line. You should be able to come to that place where you look into his face and you can see beyond what is standing in front of you and see the gift of God in that person and be able to say, oh, I need to identify with this person. Why? Because the Bible says, Job said, I was formed in his presence. When God forms you, you are up there in his presence. But there's a difference between the creation of Adam and the making of Adam. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God made them male and what? And female. So man was both male and female. But somewhere in chapter 2, God separated them. Because God will not consume so much power in just one man. It's too much. God will take that which is supposed to be your source of strength and take that of you and put it in somebody else so that you can be dependent. God doesn't want someone that is just all there alone. You can solve your problems. You've got all the wisdom. And that's why you find that even many times for those of us who are in ministry, you see us, you appreciate something about us. Then you see another pastor like, wow, that's different. You even among those who sing, you hear someone who sing like, wow, that's really good. Then you hear somebody else and you're like, wow, that is really, really good. Way back in those days, I used to listen to Darlene Zeke because she was the alternative to a Celine Dion for us in the church, you know. And if you've been there, you know that she looks like Celine Dion, you know. She's just all there, you know, singing love and singing righteousness. That's not a bad idea. We can make do with this one. We don't have to go all the way and buy Celine Dion CDs, you know. But for some reason, she represented something for us. Growing up, you listen to a Don Wen, then you need to feel some love. You switch to a Darlene Zeke, and then you begin to, you know, feel all of that eclectic and all of that. But you know, at some point, she started battling cancer. If you are not established in the love of God, the devil will sell a lie to you and give you the impression that it is God that is making it happen to you. I say all of this because when you look at the story of Paul the Apostle, you get he was someone who fought the gospel. He went against the cause of God and the kingdom of God. And then God later brought him into the picture. And you see the prophecy that God was sharing with Isaiah, Ananias, concerning him, where he said, I have chosen him to speak for me, and I will show you many things that he will go through for my sake. I mean, that sounds like God is calling to ministry even before you accepted Jesus into your life. And you're like, oh, hallelujah, I receive your word. But you're not listening. That is some big problem coming for you. Because what he suffered, even Peter didn't suffer. Apostolic people in apostolic times. But you also understand that when you look at the story of Paul and you look at his life, you will understand one of the ways Paul became the person he became was that he understood transitions. He understood transitions. He understood when his phase had ended for him and when a new one had started for him. And no one can determine that for you. You've got to come to that place where you can say, in our family, we have come to the end of a phase and we are about to start another phase. So that you don't use the rules of O level and apply them to A level. Because notice that some of the things will begin to fail. You need to update that application. You need to upgrade your browser. You need to do something to that software. You need to move to iOS, whatever it is that is out there right now. And you need to upgrade this for optimal performance. Most times, we are so stuck with the things that God said to us that worked. But God says it's time to move from Sinai. God said to them, I want to reveal myself to you so that you can believe, that they can believe forever. But when they saw the glory of God and his fire burning in the heavens, over the mountains, they said, hey, Moses, you know what? You are such a great man of God. We've seen the hand of God. But you know what? You just keep talking to him and tell us what he says. But they had already seen something. They saw the fire and the glory of God burning upon the mountain. And that thing marked their hearts. It created an indelible mark in their heart, such that there's nothing you say, even for those who were not there, because of the sign and the mark of the fire of God that was burning on that day when he visited them, their minds became veiled. That there was nothing anybody could do. Call yourself Messiah, call yourself Jesus. There was nothing you could do. If you are not agreeing with their theology, you are out. And those were the contentions God sent Paul to address. You need to realize that many times God will hide you within a system and then bring you out of the system and say, crush that system. God will hide a Moses in Egypt and then make Moses bring Egypt down. God will hide Jesus within a system that was about to end in Israel, and then he will end it and start a new race of a spiritual Israel. Many times you try to pray yourself out of the things that's going on in your life, but God put you in that system to end it and start something new. All that training, all that pain, all that stuff going on in your family, God allowed it so that you can come out of it and put a stop to it. You need to learn how to stop the curse and start the blessing. So at this point, Paul had already become a Christian. And the Bible said, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. That's the Corinthian church. Go ahead. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because it was of the same craft, what craft was that? He abode with them and worked and wrought, for by the occupation they were what? They were tent makers. Now this is a professional person. He was trained as a lawyer. He was educated, but he had to morph into something else to be able to fit into his assignment. Yeah, and you need to be able to identify those things that are very important for you. You know, to things you have to be flexible with God. Don't just say, I trained as a lawyer, I can't do this stuff. Yeah, bro, if your assignment requires you to wear knicker and get into the market and sell kerosene, my brother, the only way you can ever trust that God is the one speaking is if you're established in his love. If not, you will fight it. It won't be the devil fighting God. It will be you fighting God's eternal counsel for you. Paul had left Athens and came to Corinth. And then he connected with Aquila and Priscilla, who are also apostles. And these are two models you need to study. The Paul model of apostolic ministry and the Aquila-Priscilla model of apostolic ministry. Go ahead. And they were tent makers, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading the Jews and the Greeks. Go on. And when Silas and Timothy, one thing you will notice is that most times when God sends people out, he never sends them alone. He puts someone within their space, and it is important for you to find that person that he has put within your space. It is important for you not just to find the person, but properly identify the person and put the label over his head. So when someone is trying to tell you, hey, do you know, you don't know, this is a covenant partner. And that's why we are so frustrated, because we cannot both be discouraged at the same time. And these are things that happen to us. They discourage us in our business. They discourage us in our family life. They discourage us in every space that we find ourselves. And they were wondering, what happened? Bro, you need to identify the person, the core people that God has put in your primary space, and identify them, label them appropriately. Don't make your husband your boyfriend. And when Silas and Timothy were come to Macedonia, what happened to Paul? It was pressed in the spirit. There's something that happens to you. There's a kind of impressions you feel in your spirit when you are in the midst of your company. There's a kind of agitation and weakness you feel in your heart when you are standing with your people. When you are standing with your people, Paul did what? He was pressed in the spirit and received utterance, and he began to testify that Jesus was Christ. In the preceding verse, he had actually started preaching, but he was being diplomatic. He could not come out the way he would have wanted to come out. But when he saw his company, he drew strength from them. And you must learn how to draw strength from your company. Many times, I'm with some of my friends, and maybe we are ministering in a meeting or something, and I notice that we begin to operate in similar graces. Are you listening to me? Because he is an apostle. Pastor Desmond, my friend, has an apostolic call. I operate in poetic and teaching call, ministry, and we have a few other people. But I notice that many times when we minister together, I easily tap into the grace that you're praising, and he easily taps into the grace I minister in, and will draw strength, and then the manifestation of that glory is more intense because we are with our company. Jesus was going to feed 5,000. He said to them, let them sit in their company, and they sat in companies of 50. 50 symbolic of the Pentecost, symbolic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God will never do anything tangible with any man alone. Even when he starts alone, it will bring you into your company. It will take certain people out, and you will notice that those people he's taking out, no matter what you do to reestablish that relationship, to keep them close to you, you will notice you can't keep up with the relationship. For some reason, you just notice they are getting farther and farther away. You try to call, you know you should call them, something happens, you forget to call. You just notice after a few weeks, a few months, like, what happened to us? We are no way, hey, they are your yesterday people, let them go. Any covenant relationship is fueled and oiled by the Holy Ghost himself. Fueled and oiled by the Holy Ghost himself. You will not need to do anything to keep that relationship. Hey, imagine I'm talking to my friend Pastor Desmond or Pastor Chinto, and I you know the call person himself. Nonsense. That's never happened. We'll just pick up from where we left it off. How far away the other day we were talking. We just start talking. We don't even share scriptures. We are just talking. Learn how to identify the people God is putting into your space. It is your personal responsibility. It's not anybody. But you walk with God, he will help you identify them. Many times they will not even look like what you are expecting. You have to be open-minded. Being open-minded is very key to success. Very key. The Bible said when they came, Paul became pressed. He could feel the pressure of the Spirit of God within him, and he began to testify about Jesus Christ. Next verse. And when they oppose themselves, you see, there's something about the utterances of Christ. When someone begins to preach about Christ, one of the ways you know you are touching something is when opposition begins to rise. So they began to oppose themselves and blaspheme, and he shook his raiment and said to them, say, your blood be upon your head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into Gentile. Now let me tell you something. One of the things you have to be careful about as apostolic people is offense. Who did God send Paul to? The Gentile. But you see, most of all those Gentile cities, like the Greek related areas, Corinth, Ephesus, there were a lot of Jews that were there. There were a lot of Jews. They had their synagogues there. But Paul tried to concentrate on the Jews initially. He tried to witness to them because he felt they could find a common ground. Now, it was the people he was going to that they were opposing him. Paul said, look, Paul raised a judgment against them. He said, your blood from today will be upon you. He said, I'm now going to where? To the Gentiles. Go to the next verse. And he departed thence and entered into a man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined her to the synagogue. Go ahead. Now, Crispus, that's my man. Paul had gone into the city to preach. Everybody opposed him. Nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. But there was the chief ruler. It's like the president of the court of appeal, or the residential pastor of the synagogue. Like the pastor of the synagogue. The guy believed on the Lord when he heard Paul preach. And all his house. What was the impact? Many of the Corinthians hearing that he had become a Christian also what? believed, and we are what? Baptized. Always search for your chief men. Search for those key people. When you go into a system to take it, don't look for everybody. Look for the person. Look for that one, two people. Chief men. The Bible talked about chief men that the Lord brought to David in the day of harvest. In the day of harvest, there's just one person, two people somewhere. When you go into a place, you must have an eye for them. Because every other person is like, hey, let's wait and see where this is going. Let's wait and see where we are not too sure. Everybody's starting churches this day. Everybody's starting companies this day. We don't know what's going on. When you go into that place, there's somebody that the ministry of faith has come into his heart. And it will be a key person. It will be somebody that is conversion will trigger reactions. I'm sure many of you never heard of Crispus, right? Talk to me. You ever heard of Crispus? You don't hear about him. But the revival that broke out in Corinth was a result of this man. So while everybody was, and Paul was getting angry, God had selected a key man without Paul's permission. It was the guy who later came and said, you know what? Man, that was some powerful stuff. What? You believe? Tell me more. I believe. Here was point preceding verse. Already taking offense that God had abandoned him. Just like when God is asking you to do something and you begin to look at your mission and ask yourself, are we really making progress? Have you been there before? You're like, are we really making progress here? Is this business really making... I know God told me to start this stuff, but are we really making progress here? It's not moving the way I expect it to move. I expect my ministry, my singing ministry to be like this. I expect my prayer ministry to be like this. I expect this church to be like this. And you are there just thinking, I won't do this stuff anymore. I'll just go to Lekki. Just go to Lekki. Somebody was getting offended. Yet God has selected a key man for himself. That man was the trigger. His name was Crispus. Crispus didn't just come to Christ. He came to Christ with his family. And when many heard, if a Crispus can believe, maybe Crispus, being a chief ruler, knows something that we are not getting. They didn't even want to hear. They just came and believed. Next verse. Look at this. The moment Crispus came to the Lord, God now appeared to Paul. He said to him in the night, do not be afraid. Speak. Do not hold your peace. Now we have our key men. This is the time to start firing on all cylinders. Hey, Masakata. See, you must have your ears in the spirit. Glued in the spirit. You know what it means when you preach in a place and they are so cold at you when you're trying to do stuff because God asked you to do them, and everything you saw at that junction of obedience was stiff opposition. And then just when God gave you somewhere, say, hey, you may not look like it now. Start firing on all cylinders. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Forget that offense thing. Fire! You know something about firing. If you are dispatched as an officer to Sambisa Forest, and when you are standing, maybe just you and one other person, and you are surrounded, it's not the time to be aiming. Brother, it's not enough to know how to shoot with just one gun. You've got to learn how to use two, if possible with your leg attached. And just pray like you are a commando or something. Just do something. That's not the time to think. Stop thinking. Fire! You know, the problem is that most of us get to that point and then we now relax because we found Crispus. Hey, that is the point to now take off your watch, take off top, and put yourself together and begin to put pressure, because the moment you got a Crispus, the city is about to come to you. What happened before Crispus came? Paul found his company. And he started declaring the testament of Christ. The moment he started preaching Christ, he found courage. That testimony was not just Paul's testimony. It was Timothy's testimony. It was Titus' testimony. Because their presence gave him strength. But he was the one with the utterance. He was the one with the utterance. So he started speaking forth. There's just this thing about where you know you are not going to die alone. He started speaking forth. He started blowing on all cylinders. And he found only one Crispus. The moment he found a Crispus, He found the household of Crispus. That means they had a church there in the house. Then if the people started gathering for services on the Sabbath, not for Moses, but for Jesus. You must understand spiritual strategy, that when God is asking you to do stuff, it's not, don't be so gathered and concerned about the things that seems to be the happenings around you. Focus on the key man. Always when you are teaching and when you are praying, or we are believing God for something major in your ministry and your business, look for the key man. There's somebody you should be talking to. There's somebody you should be spending more time with. There's somebody that has the key to the gates, the city of those gates. The key of those gates was in the hands of Crispus. Paul didn't know him, but when Paul found strength in his company and began to speak forth, Crispus stood out while everybody stood back. Find your Crispus. God said to him in a vision of the night, do not be afraid. Because many times when it seems that you are beginning to get into some level of breakthrough, oh, I'm about to get married, oh, finally it's about to happen, oh, and then devil is like, are you sure this will last? Are you sure this is not just something that a fleeting experience? And are you sure you really want to go? If you go in, you fail. And that's why you have to persuade of the love of God. You have to be persuaded. Therefore, he will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will he allow his only one to see corruption. You have to trust him. You have to trust him. You have to trust him. You have to trust. God began to address the issue of fear in the heart of Paul. That in the midst of that revival, because every time God speaks, he's speaking directly into your spirit that, wow, this is so good to be true, but the opposition is just going to start. And like, do we back out? Do we stay? What do we do? When God came, the first thing the Lord said is, do not fear. Continue to speak. Many times the way to silence fear is in your utterances. Because if you keep quiet, I have faith in Christ. You just notice you are mumbling, jumbling in your mind, and you can't really get clear words out. But you need to open up and speak into the atmosphere. Speak those words out. Speak those. Say, I will not fail in this enterprise. I didn't get here because I wanted to, but because I had a word from the Lord to be here. A man sent by God has a problem with location. Anywhere the Lord sends him, he will thrive. God started addressing issues of fear. No, that project will not fail. Just start speaking. Start speaking. That is the language and the utterance of the Spirit. Every time you begin to respond in alignment to God and begin to bring utterance, the Spirit of God needs input and material from you to be able to walk. So if you begin to speak, it takes those words and begins to morph it into the revival that is coming. Morphs those things and morphs it and say, come on, keep talking to me. Keep talking to me. Keep talking. And it takes those words and morphs it and morphs it. You don't see all of that part. That is why it's the Holy Ghost. So present, yet invincible. Say, keep talking to me. Don't stop talking to me. Don't stop talking to me. Keep saying it. You take those words and then you morph it, morph it, morph it, morph it, morph it, morph it. Because it needs to morph you and cook you, make you ready for what is coming next. But it needs to deal with the element of fear. That peradventure, what if the supply stops? Next verse. Say, for I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you. Why? I have much people in this city. Apostolic people in apostolic times. I have much people. It doesn't look like it right now, but I have much people. Not just one person. They look like they oppose you. They look like they don't like your face. But I have much people in this city. I know they say it's in the desert lands of Sokoto or in some desert land in Kebbi State. He said, but I have much people in this city. I know nobody listens to God here. Everybody's doing a high five and they're doing all them secular music and shaking their body and doing all kind of stuff. And it feels so easy to be swayed by the power that is in the entertainment industry. But I have much people in this city. I know it doesn't feel like, oh, if I start this writing thing, I always wanted to be a writer. I have some of these personal books I like to write, but nobody's going to buy them. The moment people know that you have a Christian bias, they do away with you. Hey, I have much people, even in that city. I don't know, you may be looking and say, oh, people are so broken, people are so messed up, and sometimes you come in and you begin to feel the snares of sin begin to pull at you, and you are wondering, how can the Lord be sending me, knowing that I have the same weaknesses, sending me to people like me? I have much people in this city. I will not give you money. I will not give you anything. I will give you my presence. Wherever my presence is, that's where the throne of God is. Say, do not be afraid. Speak. There is no man in that city that will have power over you. You must learn the power of a prophetic word. Because when you are standing toe to toe with the devil, those are the things that will keep you. That it will, it, that you are able to judge him faithful. That based on the things he has said to you, that he, that made you take those decisions you took, you know that it will come through for you. Why? Because he said to you, you must have ears in the spirit. You must have eyes in the spirit to be able to capture the very words that God speaks into your heart. Very hard. You just capture it and document it. Imagine that Paul had all of these revelations and stuff going on, and they were not documented for us to see. Learn the power of writing. Learn to document stuff. Learn to write the things the Lord is saying to you. Sometimes they sound very simple. Write it down. Apostolic people, mountain takers. Mountain takers. Mountain takers. Go to there, a year and a half, it was teaching the word of God amongst them. And when Galileo was, who was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made an insurrection with one accord against who? Against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat. Go ahead. Saying, this fellow persuaded men. To worship God. Contrary to the law. Contrary to the law, verse 14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wickedness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. He said, but if it be a request of words and names and of your law, look into it, for I will be no judge in such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. This Galileo was not a believer. But God put him there. Just because they don't bear your mark, God can put a Cyrus. God can use a Cyrus for the advancement of his kingdom. Be open-minded. Be open-minded. Back in those days, if you came to me and you asked for prayers and you are not born again, I won't pray for you. As far as I'm concerned, you need more salvation than healing. Be open-minded. Be open-minded. Many of the people sitting here today, when we first met, you are not like this. You are at some point of brokenness. You are at some point when things were not together. I mean, someone is looking at you and say, ah, Pastor, I like that girl. Oh, you should have seen her 5 years ago. He won't touch her with a long pole. Oh, and you should have seen him before. He was on crack. Be open-minded. Some of the people you despise are the people that God calls much in this city. Look at how God used one man. Do you know the amazing thing about this man? He was sitting upon the mountain of the legal system. God had to use him because there was no Christian there. When you are sitting upon a mountain, you are sitting upon the full weight and dominion and authority of that mountain. What is in your heart to be revealed? You cannot, even though the church supported the outgoing president of the United States, when he got there, we saw his heart. And even though the incoming president
Nobody really seems to understand him. He blows hot and cold. But for some reason, the guy said, I want to give the power back to the church. So I'll vote for you anyways. You know. Go to chapter 19. Be open-minded. If you close your mind, you can be looking at somebody who is a sharpened arrow in the quiver of heaven, and you say, because this person is not cooperating with your training and your teaching and your mentorship, you discard the person. Meanwhile, God says, this is one of those much in the city. Those people I have marked for myself. She's stubborn now, she will become later. But you need the weapon of patience to be able to mentor this kind of people. They will look into your face and insult you and call you names and tell you are stupid and that you are wasting their time. But I have much people in this city. Not all of them will come like who? Crispus. Patience. The things that give us the harvest, patience. After you have planted, you be patient. And let the rains and let time happen to the seed. Let time and chance happen to the seed. Some will die, some will thrive. But give them chance, water them, put some manure around them. Symbolic of good relationships and good friends. Put them around them. Let people come to the house of God and find strength for their souls and find encouragement. Let people know God is not done with them. Whether it's one person you are saying it to or to 500 people, whoever has the ears, let them hear. And God is not done with them. And it doesn't matter where you are at in your life. You have not gone too far for him to reach you. Chapter 19. Love goes on and on and on and on. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And Ephesus is an entire study. Finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? And they said to him, what is the Holy Ghost? We have not so much heard anything by the name of the Holy Ghost. Is that a person or something? And Paul said, what were you baptized into? They said, we were baptized into John. And Paul said in verse 4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, that's the baptism of John, saying unto people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, which is Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, and they prophesied. And all the men, they were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for about the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading men concerning the things of the kingdom of God. You look at the word dispute. Dispute means you have information for and against. You can't just be one way. You are dealing with people who know your stuff. You don't know their stuff. So they use your point against you. That's why you need to read. You need to know how a philosopher thinks. But divers were added and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. So we had people who took up the ministry of the accuser, going about into the people. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. You know, this one, other one, we are sure. This one, we don't understand. Don't listen to him. Don't listen. If you want to come to my house this night, don't listen to him. I can see the way somebody is telling his wife. I can see the way you are looking at him with rapt attention. Whatever you do, if you are still going to be in my house this night, don't listen to him. That's what they were doing there. But when Paul saw that many were adding, and they spoke evil of the multitude, he departed from them and separated who? The word disciple is very key there. Who is or what is a disciple? Typical example, you could look at the 12 disciples. These are people who had their way but chose his way. These are people who saw no other life but his life. People who have identified with his death, peradventure they might find his life. In hope. I can't do a whole study on this right now, but Paul technically just looked at the few people who believe, and really it's just a few people who believe. Mostly it's the people that have been changing when we were on campus, there are still the people that are changing now. Those many of them who are the misbehaving then on campus, they are still the ones that are still misbehaving. Many times. In fact, the ones that changed were the ones that didn't have anything to do with us. Or you just say, hey, Patrick, how you doing? It's been a while. I just say, I'm fine. Hey, what's up? Are you still a Christian? I say, yeah, I'm a Christian too, you know. I'm one of the pastors. I saw this guy on Facebook. He was like among the baddest guys. Very tall, if I call his name. You know, for those who are in my set in school, very tall, you know, only smoky, go, keg guy. And some, maybe, possibly, who knows, he probably could have been in a cult. But when you see him, Desmond knows all of them. So you like, just see the way, if you look at him, you don't even want to talk to him. Because you know, there's people that got admission late. they are not, you are in the same class, but you are not classed together. They are just they sit at the back and just watch you do your thing. They are the ones who are looking. You're looking for 2-1. You just sit in front and keep answering all the questions. I saw him on Facebook, and I saw him in front of MFM on MFM altar holding the microphone. I put my hands over my head. I say, "Oh my God, how great thou art!" You know, you see stuff, and you're like, you begin to speak in James to God, because I'm like, "What? What are you doing? Is he sharing a testimony?" Then I saw him now write some scriptures over that post. I said, oh my goodness. Seriously, I'd given up on saying, no, there's no point preaching to them. These ones are lost. Just leave them. Leave them. They are just waiting to die. But I saw him and I saw all his posts. Yeah, he had embraced the MFM way. But at least he embraced something. And I saw him on the altar, and he would say, "Every power designated against your life, catch fire." And then I'm like, wow, okay, somebody saw some hope in this guy. Whatever could have gotten this care guide and this bado to the point where he just felt no more. You've got to have eyes for material when you see it. The Bible said that Paul took these few people, again, these chief people are usually in a very small set, and he took them apart. And the Bible said he began to teach them for 2 years. The Bible said he began to teach them in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. He taught them till everyone in Asia, an entire continent, 12 men, had heard about Jesus. Whether they were Jews or Greeks. In verse 11, God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. I permit me to stop here to tell you that miracles don't just happen. They happen in the heat of opposition. The heat of opposition. They happen when you don't know what to do. That's what happened when Paul was going to be judged and killed. It's someone he didn't even expect. Galileo just came out and said, "Hey, why guys, all of you scatter." That was a miracle. Because there was no reason for that guy to have supported him. There was no reason. The guy had nothing at stake. The guy dispersed all of them. Like, wow, that must have been God. Keep your minds open. The Bible says God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. It was out of his body that they took forth handkerchiefs. And he waved an handkerchief at a possessed person, and demons would fly out. There was no shouting in Jesus' name. There was nothing. Even Jesus wasn't doing miracle by handkerchiefs. Your best begins to thrive and begins to burn when you are in the heat of your greatest opposition. That's when you find that you have ability to pray. When you call your pastor, his number is switched off. And you call the other pastor and he say, "I can't hear you clearly." Then you look at the devil standing in front of you. And you look at the Red Sea behind you. And you realize you are practically on your own. Then you close your eyes. You begin to pray. And you are not praying dignified, lecky tongue. You lose your manners in the spirit. Because right now you are standing toe to toe with the devil. You know those kind of devils that when you bind them, they just smile. Then you bind them again, they just smile. Then you bind them again, they just smile. Close your eyes. You are looking at that stuff. Close your eyes. You stay one spot, sweating and draining. And then you open your eyes. It's gone. Just go and sit down quietly. Then your pastor calls you. Say, Pastor, you are late. Say, you are late. Hey, you know, God didn't say your pastor can leave. He said, I will never leave. As we begin to engage and as the church comes into a new phase in the spirit, it's very important for us to understand the times that we are in and understand the character of that time. That God is not looking for fine boys, He's looking for soldiers, looking for warriors, people who will stand and can carry the banner of Jesus Christ and wave it in the midst of stiff opposition. I am Christian. Anywhere I stand, the flag of Jesus soars higher over that place. Regardless of what you think, no matter what you do, I am Christian. The light of the glorious gospel shines over this place. And because I stand here, there is hope over this place. There is hope for this nation. There is hope for these people. Because even God has much people in this city. Until you can begin to see as God sees, your harvest will not come. So you don't get discouraged and think that until you become a pastor, you are not doing anything tangible. No, this is just one mountain out of seven. When you begin to engage with the media world and you begin to feel the warfare that comes from media world, that warfare is not the type you stand afar of. It is the kind of warfare that we call wrestling. Because the Bible says we wrestle not. The word wrestle there does not denote standing afar and fighting. It means you are in close combat with somebody. So as you try to engage them, they are touching you with their wiles. They are touching you with their seductions. And you're like, and you still need to stand your ground. Because all of a sudden, you are in that office and then two faces just want to say, hey, you look so pretty. Can I have your number? You need to engage in the spirit to stand on your feet, because this is not church. This is the warfare ground. We are fighting here. This is not church. The demons in the church are not the demons out here. They say, you know, you're so gifted and you're so... We just think that if you could take this, your gift, and maybe make it a bit secular, it will be more acceptable to all, and we can make a lot of money from this. And you're like, okay. And they say, what was happening is that you are in close combat and they are touching you. The devil doesn't fight power with power. He fights power with deception. He tries to give you the impression that you are still okay, and you're going to be okay, and you're going to be okay. We just need to make adjustments and call it maturity. We need to engage. You call it wisdom. You are engaging they are the ones engaging you. You are engaging nothing. Also, you just notice that over a period of 5 years, the person who came in is not the person still standing. You've changed so much. You now have excuses. And those who make excuses make nothing. Your persuasions changing. And then when God looks over that mountain, expecting one blazing fire there, He sees something just struggling to... a small flicker of light. Still struggling to light a small spot. No. Light is small. And God is saying, you should be the city set upon the hill, blazing as the sun. He said, for the sons shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. God is looking for people who stand on those mountains and blaze in the wisdom of God. And God is just, He just sees your light. Like when the light was about to go out in the temple, where Samuel was, and it was just struggling. You know, look at the way the light was just struggling. Symbolic of the spiritual state of Israel and its leadership. And it was just struggling and struggling. And Samuel was lying close to that fire. Symbolic of the spiritual state of a nation, when no one can tell whether it is day or night, whether it is light or day. So it's wrestling, a close combat, and they engage you, and many times you will fall flat on your face. And that's why you must be persuaded of God's love. For the righteous man will fail and fall seven times, but will be given grace to rise back on his feet. As we begin to look at the task of redeeming the nations and redeeming the times. Scripture tells us that the days are evil. The days will be filled with so much evil. We must begin to come into a persuasion, not just understanding, a persuasion that we were born for such a time as this. And we weren't just born to fill space and sit in church. We were born to walk into the mountains and take rulership of them. That a time is coming, if the church wants to broadcast to the nations from one spot, the church will do it. Go and check all the stations that are of significance. They are on DSTV, satellite channels. All the ones doing so well are on free to air. Who watches free to air? When you go to the market to buy free to air decoder, they tell you it's pastors that watch free to air. You don't want Go TV or DSTV. So you be pastor, say, nah, pastor, take this one. It's free. It's okay to start that way. Until recently, when Dove TV broke into Go TV. Dove TV, owned by Redeem. My friend, oh God, I don't even want to get very personal anymore. You know, it was one of those popular Christian channels that used to be on DSTV. They had gone to South Africa to have a meeting with them. They met the head of the program on a smoky buzz, just buzzing. You understand? So, oh, you're the guy from Nigeria. You're welcome. Please sit down. He dropped the cigarette. Like, what? These are the guys who sit and listen to their worship song every day for 24 hours every day. Maybe the guy was sent there as a mountain taker. And he got there and then they say, you know what? While you are waiting to take the mountain, yes, it's thick. Start with one. The guy noticed he never got to stop after them. There will be offers. There will be offers. There will be great offers. They won't come like sin. They will come like something like, ah, it's not a bad idea. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. God will establish you on that mountain. But God will not allow the king of Sodom to say, I made Abraham rich. He will not take that one. All is money, but not all money is money. And it's at the point where you, because you see, Sodom wasn't asking Abraham to go to come and worship their God. He just wanted to sow into his life. Amen. So he sow into your life and bless you, man of God. That was an awesome victory. They teach us in church that when you see something that is good, you sow into it. I saw the way you messed up that army. I just want to sow and connect with this anointing. I want to connect with this anointing. Hallelujah. Mambra Shata. Man of God, that was powerful. That was powerful. Marakatabaya. Where's my... Hey, bring my check. Sir, please, this is a very small token. I don't pull $15 million. Please, man of God, I connect with this anointing. I connect. What are you connecting to? The last man who tried to connect to the anointing, what did Peter do to him? He raised the cost on him. See, there's a thin line between deviation and truth. You can give to men of God. There were those places Paul went, it was people taking care of him. Paul used to mention some of them in his letter, like Ayefele. He will sing and mention some names. Say, oh, the house of a so-so person took care of me. If Paul was a singer, he would probably put it in a song like Ayefele. So there's nothing wrong with appreciation. I mean, I like listening to the guy because he will first sing praise songs, then he will now enter into his tumba. You understand? I'm still okay. At least we know he didn't even say it's a Christian. He says it's merrymaker. You understand? Ayefele and the merrymakers. It's we that called him in our church and gave him evangelist. He never claimed he was an evangelist. But you can see many posters. They say evangelist, Ayefele, minister. He'll be doing his own betting. We are in trouble. We are in trouble in church. So you can imagine someone just came like, man of God. That was powerful. You didn't lose one out of 300. And you destroyed about five armies or three armies. You scattered them. And you didn't lose one. I said, yes, but thank God, the grace of God. Man of God, I want to connect with this anointing. Man of God, this is awesome. Masikala. Jesus, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. That's what the guy did. I just say, you know, since we have been ministering all around, we have not seen people who appreciate our ministry like you. Asakata. More so, you're a king. That guy was a king. Namasi Hadaba. All my grace, all my power, all my anointing, rest on you, King of Sodom. Ikataya. Rise, there is success. Kaladaba. Where's the check? Put it in your pocket. You see, there was nothing wrong with the guy giving to a man of God. But you see, the end point of that giving was going to be very faulty. That's the problem. So we can take things from people, but not everybody. Are you hearing me? It was an unbeliever that God used to save Paul. Are you hearing me? God can use anybody, but not everybody. Keep your mind open. So you know the gift that you will take, that will take your voice away. That gift that you will accept, and you will have a voice on that mountain again. Say, what are you saying now? How much of my money is in your account? It's now that you became a Christian. Please, please, please. Let me go before you start your message. As we begin to engage for the last days, we are engaging for the harvest, the souls of men. He said, you did not call me, but I chose you, and I ordained you to go out there and bear fruit, saying that this fruit should remain. This fruit are souls. Everything the devil is doing, because of one thing, souls. Everything God has ever done, because of one thing, souls. If for some reason you cannot find a connection between what you do in your business and what you do in your family and what you do in your personal life with what God is doing, the day the offer of Sodom will come, you will take it. As I close, continue from here next week. Paul began to find many outstanding abilities in himself, especially in the working of miracles, giving sight to the blind, causing cripples to rise, the dead were being raised. But all those happened because of his alignment and his obedience to God. And today I want to say to you that everything you are searching for is on your journey. Start the journey. The journey will require faith and nothing else. It will require faith and nothing else. If you are here and you are not married, don't spend all your effort trying to look good. When a man really needs to make up his mind, those are not the things he looks at. When you're doing boyfriend, girlfriend, it's okay, no problem. When you really want to find your partner, even if I was out there, take that makeup off. I want to see that face. I'll come visit you when you're at home, just casual. It's not just tom-tom. You need to unwrap it. Let's see what we are dealing with here. Are we dealing with somebody who is insecure? I'm not saying don't use your money and buy it. I'm just saying that when a man really needs to make his choice, that's why I see some of those big boys, when they, after fooling around, you see the kind of girl they'll just go and marry. The girl that doesn't even like the camera. She doesn't like the media. You hardly see that girl. You just see her. If you see the girl in any picture, she was either just walking and the paparazzi caught up with her. You will never say. They look for people that is opposite of themselves. They go to the village. Don't be deceived. Get your husband in the place of prayer. The way you get him is the way you keep him. Get your wife in the place of prayer. Let God hand him over to you. You will not worry over so many things. Where are you? Where are you? I've been calling you. You are not picking. Where are you now? Now. Where are you? Kule is calling you again. Look at our missed call. This Kule is still calling you. Why is he still calling you? Didn't you tell him you are married? You won't need all those ones. We need to change the children's school. Your husband is just talking. Leave him. Go and pray. He will call you back and say, what was that thing you were saying? What was it about that school? He's still coming back to your point. This argumentative spirit you inherited from your mom. And you are proud of it. I say my mind. I can't hide it all. When I'm angry, I talk. That is where you are. One of the qualities of mountain takers, they understand the power of restraint. Not that I don't have anything to say, but they understand the power of restraint. I will hold back for now. I want you to see your life and your journey in God beyond anything you have ever known it to be. Please, for once, can you please agree with God on the fact that you were born for a reason and that you are an arrow shot into the future from the quivers of heaven, and that your life is more than what you know it to be, and that if you just take a step and walk with God by faith, it will be alright in the end. It will be alright in the end. That there's nothing the Lord cannot put in your hands. That there's no need the Lord cannot meet for you. There's no need the Lord cannot meet for you. But your obedience, the miracles will come in the place of your alignment. Let's bow our heads.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilupeju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website, www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling, 080-83-178-191. God bless you.